The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Did You Know Show. I am your host, Alex Parnuk, and together we'll attempt to resolve some of the most complex problems on the planet, but in a very common sense sort of way, something that seems to be sorely missing in this age of media information overload. In doing this show, one would ask, why have I committed myself to this task? The plain and simple answer is, I want to get information to you that seems to be missing and not provided in the old media. So join me in the show through your interaction by providing comments, suggestions, and if necessary, criticism when you don't agree. You can contact me at shout@theflypod.com. As I embarked on this mission of information regarding the executive branch of government, even my understanding of the federal government has been changed and challenged in such a way that I need to know more. Now that we've completed our journey into the discussion of the 15 distinct and unique federal executive departments, it is time to roll them all up and discuss the actual executive entity. The executive branch of government, we call it the presidency, the White House, his staff, and how all of this fits together. Within the context of those 15 departments of the executive branch, my mission has always been to give you, the listener, a better understanding of the executive branch of the federal government, its function, history, how they operate, and just maybe an inkling into the concept that there just might be a need of a little bit of trimming. Well, I started with A as the Department of Agriculture and ended with V for the Veterans Administration, but I must say that I have not been complete in my duties. Within the very essence of the executive branch, I was remiss in not explaining that there are additional levels of government within the main body of the executive branch. Within the scope and authority of the executive office and its 15 departments, there are other levels, totally separate but yet connected to the executive branch of government vis-a-vis the White House, that I have not accounted for. So here goes. These are additional bodies that operate as government entities within the boundaries of the executive branch. So below the executive office of the president and the 15 executive departments, there are three additional layers of executive government. The first level down is described as independent agencies and government corporations. The next level down are called boards, commissions, and committees. And lastly, there is a creature called quasi-official agencies. Listeners, these are not my words. These are the executive branch's own description as seen on their own website. This first level, called the independent agencies and government corporations, they consist of 70, yes, 70 separate agencies and governmental corporations, such as, but not limited to, Amtrak, CIA, DNI, which is the Director of National Intelligence, the FTC, Federal Trade Commission, the GSA, General Services Administration, International Broadcasting Bureau, Merit Systems Protection Board, the National Science Foundation, Office of Personnel Management, Peace Corps, Railroad Retirement Board, Selective Service System, Tennessee Valley Authority, and the U.S. Postal Service. Let me read to you a paragraph from the Amtrak 2014 Budget Request Justification Document. Quote, in nominal dollars, Amtrak's operating deficit in fiscal 2012, excluding non-cash expenses, was at its lowest level since 1975, Amtrak's fourth year of operation. Stated in constant dollars, the fiscal 2012 deficit was the lowest in Amtrak's history, a common measure of financial efficiency in passenger rail transportation. Is the proportion of operating expenses which are paid by the company's revenue. In fiscal 2012, Amtrak's operating revenues covered 88% of operating expenses, excluding non-cash items, the highest passenger rail operating ratio in the United States and one of the highest in the world. Folks, only in America's deficit climate would something like the above paragraph be written and be proud to be a deficit-spending governmental entity, especially when it only has been in business for 39 years. Can you imagine some corporation or company been in business for 39 years and showing a deficit that whole time? From an article in Bloomberg, it was reported that Amtrak was funded to the tune of $1.3 billion in 2013, and from Answers.com, they reported that there were approximately 20,000 employees. But that story will have to wait for another day. Listeners, these are not one-man offices. These are substantive organizations that spend our tax dollars, or should I say our borrowed dollars, but that's a whole bunch more Did You Know shows, so stand by. Below the independent agencies, we get into a grouping called boards, commissions, and committees, which consist of two subgroups called boards, commissions, and committees, and federal advisory committees. Within the boards, commission, and committees, there are 68 separate entities such as the Vietnam Education Foundation, the Susquehanna River Basin Commission, Chemical Safety and Hazard Investigation Board, Federal Financing Bank, etc., 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 but that's enough for now. As to the federal advisory committees, which are organized by agency, I found 1,077 different committees. Folks, that just blew me away. Remember, I was a federal employee working in the Department of Justice, but even I never imagined the extent of the reach of the executive branch. Now, the last group of executive branch agency called quasi-official agencies, there were four subgroups. They were Legal Services Corporation, Smithsonian Institute, State Justice Institute, and the United States Institute of Peace. I'm going to let you hold your breath on the one for another segment of the Did You Know show, but let me just give you a tease. From the official website of the United States Institute of Peace, their mission statement reads, quote, "The United States Institute of Peace is an independent, nonpartisan institution established and funded by Congress to increase the nation's capacity to manage international conflicts without violence." Catch the funding part? Yes, they said Congress, but that is really you and I, the taxpayers of the United States. But before I end, I really believe you, the listener, should get an appreciation of what the actual office of the president is and what it encompasses. One would think that all this stuff going on within the confines of the White House would be a relatively easy matter to dispose of, but that is not the case. The core of the executive branch is the White House and its occupants. Sure, we all know that the president and his family live there, but that is a very small segment of what it is actually that goes on there. The term executive means leader and the president, or as he is commonly referred to in the media, POTUS, President of the United States, is the lone decision maker who has the final say on all things relating to the executive branch. Now, this executive, according to our Constitution, Article 2 states specifically that the executive power shall be vested in the president, that his term of office will be 4 years with a maximum of 2 terms, as amended by the 22nd Amendment ratified in February of 1951, whereas it states, no person shall be elected to the office of the president more than twice, and no person who has held the office of the president or acted as the president for more than 2 years of a term to which some other person was elected president shall be elected to the office of the president more than once. At this point, we could go into a historic analysis as to why this amendment was necessary, since we have had presidents killed, reelected more than twice, but that will be a whole other Did You Know show. Getting back to the executive, it can be said, and Wikipedia says it quite well, the executive, our president, takes on a unique role as the head of state, responsible and endowed with the responsibility of being first the head of the state or government, the chief public representative, and the living symbol of national unity. As this head of state or government, he, the president, takes on the role of defense minister, interior minister, foreign minister, finance minister, justice minister. Yes, we have a cabinet and a staff, but historically the top decision maker is the president and the buck stops at his desk. Within this context, the executive office of the president is made up of the president, his executive office, his family, the vice president, cabinet, White House staff, and other advisory boards. The executive office as it is today was created in 1939 by President Franklin Delano Roosevelt with the responsibility for tasks ranging from communicating the president's message to promoting other trade interests of the government abroad. Currently, there exists within the confines of the executive office of the president these special committees or councils: the Council of Economic Advisors, the Council on Environmental Quality, the Executive Residence, National Security Staff, Office of Administration, the Office of Management and Budget, Office of National Drug Control Policy, the Office of Science and Technology Policy, Office of the United States Trade Representative, and additional entities. too many to mention in his annotated presentation of the president and his close circle governing the United States. But let me not be remiss that this data was obtained from the WhiteHouse.gov site, and there were 36 separate entities listed at that website performing jobs and tasks necessary to the operation of the executive branch of government. But I ask you, the listener, do you not see a bit of duplication? How many different levels of advice and counsel are necessary to reach a decision? Continuing to the separate and unique part of the president's circle, the first family, more so the first lady, is easily understood depending on the nature and relative interests of that first lady. In the case of President Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, his wife, became intrinsically involved in the health care issue. Many presidential first ladies have tasked themselves with relevant issues and problematic areas as to the society of that day. Now, the vice president is at the whim of the president, being sent on missions both within the country and abroad, but always at the discretion of the president. The cabinet takes on the responsibility of running their individual departments, and the officers or heads of the cabinet are answerable to the president. In an executive CEO-type organizational unit, no major or critical decision should ever be made or implemented without the say-so of the president. Then there is the White House staff, which usually encompasses a chief of staff, several deputy chiefs of staff, a counselor to the president, and lastly, trusted senior advisors to whom the president looks for advice. I'll stop here and just say that senior advisors have historically been people with whom the president has had a very close and intimate relationship and are uniquely positioned to provide advice. Lastly, we have the other advisory boards, which include the President Council on Jobs and Competitiveness, the President's Intelligence Advisory Board and Intelligence Oversight Board, the President's Management Advisory Board, the White House Council for Community Solutions, White House Initiative and President's Advisory Commission on Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders, the President's Global Development Council. Now, I'd never heard of this organization before, so I thought it would be interesting to look into this council, which provides advice to the president. This council was established by executive order dated February the 9th, 2012, so it's relatively new. And its operation is funded by the USAID, or the United States Agency for International Development. It was created, these are their words, mind you, to provide advice to the president and senior U.S. officials on issues including U.S. global development, policies, practices, supporting new and existing public-private partnerships, and increasing awareness and action in support of development by soliciting public input on current and emerging issues in the field of global development. The council consists of 12 members from outside the federal government appointed by the president. Additionally, the Secretary of State, Secretary of the Treasury, Secretary of Defense, USAID Administrator, Chief Executive Officer of the Millennia Challenge Corporation serve as non-voting members, but do not have to attend because they can appoint one of their underlings to sit in for them. The term is 2 years, but they can be eligible for reappointment. The members of the council, appointed from outside the federal government, shall serve without compensation for their work on the council, but will receive travel expenses, including per diem, in lieu of subsistence, as authorized by law for persons serving intermittently in government service. And the site is 5 U.S.C. 5701 through 07. And finally, I recall that in this last batch of advisory groups, there was the President's Intelligence Advisory Board and Intelligence Oversight Board. But does not the President have advice from CIA, NSA, National Security Staff, and other intel groups associated with the military? Think about it. How many advisory opinions do you need or want before it all gets muddled up and you're in a quagmire of advice? Well, listeners, that wraps up the White House and activities under the direct purview of the President of the United States. I hope you have a better understanding of what it is that is going on in your government. As you can see, there is a lot more going on than either I or many others imagined. Well, until next time in our next Did You Know show, keep your powder dry and your silver coins in your pocket.